What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
We get a lot of emails about how can we help the show and all that good stuff. If you can leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, it's so helpful for us.
Yes.
And then if you want to join the Patreon, patreon.com/selfhelpless for bonus episodes, prizes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But also just sharing Self-Helpless on your social medias with your friends and family. A lot of people have been doing that recently.
Yeah.
And it word of mouth is the best form of advertisement.
I mean,
people trust you and your opinion, and people will screenshot the episode they're listening to and put it on their Instagram stories and all that. And we just love seeing all that stuff. We love that you guys are posting pictures and your helpster shirts and all that stuff.
I love the pictures of the helpster.
We live for this shit. So it's just fun for us to connect with you guys that way. So if you want to take a second and do those things.
Yeah, tell your friends.
Really just cool.
Text a friend. I mean, I think we get so wrapped up in social media, we forget that a lot of the times when we start watching a favorite new TV show, it's because our friend texted us and was like, dude, have you started watching Breaking Bad on Netflix or whatever? Same thing. If you are loving our podcast and you have some friends or family or coworkers that you think would totally be down for this shit, let them know, because man, we have been growing week by week, and it's really exciting, and we've said it a billion times, but we just want to be able to keep doing this to the full maximum potential that we can.
Yeah, there's nothing word of mouth. I watched Nanette because people wouldn't shut up about it.
Right.
Yeah. Did I enjoy it? It was fine.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
It was good.
Yeah.
It's good. But yeah, it's
every TV show I watch is because it's been a recommendation.
Yeah.
Because I'm not very in the know, as you guys know, about pop culture and what's good to look at and stuff.
Yeah. No, you're a thousand.
It's always people being like, you need to watch this. I'm like, okay, great. Let me just put it in my phone on my list and I will do that.
Yeah.
And then if Cam wants to watch it, I'll sit down and do that.
Exactly. Yes.
What was the thing you guys were watching that he posted a video of you getting real into it on the couch?
Oh my God, have you ever watched Skin Wars?
No, what is Skin
Wars?
Is it tattoos?
Oh, you were telling me about this.
That spray painting, body paint competition. Ooh. And it is incredible.
Really?
I don't even know how he watched it, because he works the TV when we're home. So
it's
don't know.
Netflix?
I don't know if it's on Netflix or Hulu.
Literally are about it. My son comes over and turns on the TiVo.
I know. All I know
know is that he has a remote now that he got recently where I can press a button and say what I want to watch and it'll pop up. So I don't know where this shit is coming from. It's like my magic genie.
Oh my gosh. Jesus. I hope Cam never leaves town without you for your sake. That is so funny.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I started watching the Interior Design Challenge on Netflix.
Sounds fun.
I want to start watching
that.
It's
so good. Yeah, it's a British show. And it's basically like, it's like Project Runway, but for interior design.
God, I love that shit, cool. man.
Oh, my God.
I've been nesting so hard, but like not pregnant. But yeah. Still nesting where I just like keep cleaning and wanting to just make everything look so Pinteresty.
Yes.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah, oh, my God. I just walked around IKEA today for like 40 minutes because I had to kill some time and use the bathroom. And I just walked around going like, oh, I got my... They do that thing on the rooms where they go, you could have your dream room for $1,200. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And it just has everything listed underneath. But then you go in there and you're like, well, not everything's on this list. Right. But all the big stuff is where they're like, you could have this really uncomfortable futon for only $600. Nothing that you sit on at IKEA feels good underneath.
Absolutely
you.
No.
It's just like a nice, semi-easy thing to put together real quick.
Yeah.
I've never put a piece of IKEA furniture together properly.
Really? I put an IKEA bed together once.
That's impressive.
I did it with a boyfriend. It was his bed. Oh, my bed's not from IKEA. I'm not a child.
Yeah, IKEA is no bueno. We're trying to like move away from it. I've been doing a lot of Wayfair shopping.
I've heard of the Wayfair.
Wayfair is nice. It's a little bit higher quality. And it's still online. You have to put it together, but I'm digging it.
I've heard good things.
I've heard good things about Overstock.
Yeah, Overstock's got good shit too. God, we're so old.
Where'd you get your couch?
I got it at Living Spaces.
That's where I was. Dude, yeah. That's Spaces. A great couch.
Yeah, you know what? They have a good clearance section too. We got our table on sale. Like, yeah, if
some nice furniture you got.
Yeah, if there's like a Living Spaces near you, they're not a sponsor.
No.
But I did not know anything about. I didn't know anything about like home stuff before like Cam and I moved together because I didn't have a reason to really care or give a shit about it in the past. So I tried to like ask around and do my research and stuff. But yeah, Living Spaces, great clearance section, good stuff.
Oh my God, I
can't. Very happy.
I cannot wait. Yeah, I've recently come to the realization that this will come out in a few weeks. Who knows where I'll be at this point? But I've come to the realization that Kelsey and Delaney are absolutely correct, and I cannot continue to live an hour outside of LA.
Yeah, with this schedule. Is like your self-careless / treating yourself.
Oh, yes.
It'll be a treat myself once I actually do it. But I've put the wheels in motion of like, I have to move back to LA.
Yeah.
Specifically near the podcast studio and near you guys. Because when I'm in town, not on the road, this is where I am consistently every week on like Monday and Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
Right.
So it just doesn't. And you guys already live 10 minutes from each other and the studio.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm spending hours in the car, and I was talking about it before we started recording, like days like today when I have, you know, meetings and podcasts and shows and I have like hours, like 2 hours in between. You have to just go walk around and look at furniture because there's nothing. I mean, you can go right, you can look at furniture, but at a certain point it gets very draining to just find places to be.
That's the worst. Yeah, just to exist.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime I've been in that position, I get cranky so fast. I'm like, I just want my own place. I want to go home. But sometimes you're way out somewhere and it's like, by the time I get home, I'm going to have to turn back around. And I fucking hate that feeling.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward for you to be out here.
Me too. Well, and you moving, has definitely affected the two of us as far as.
Oh yeah,
Delaney moving has affected Kelsey and I as far as like us thinking about our living situations and what we want to do and what our goals are for the near future. Because watching you like get your dream apartment, you know, do it, like decorate it how you want it, which I know you're still in the process of doing.
Yeah,
but it's like, oh my gosh, it just. Even watching you take all that time off for comedy, like Delaney has just been a shining example of how you should be living your life. And when Delaney's not a shining example, Cam is a shining example.
Yeah.
So between the two of them, we're fixing everything.
Yeah, honestly, it's like, it's truly like you guys are my sponsors.
Oh my gosh, you're so funny. Truly. Maybe I just look, I had like a mental breakdown and here's all the aftermath. But
I'm so happy.
But
now.
I can say like, wow, does it make a difference? Like this sounds so cheesy, but I feel like when I get home, I'm on vacation. And that's how I feel.
That's so
I want
nice.
Everybody to feel that way.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize you don't feel that way until you do.
Yes.
You know, you have to really get yourself out of that situation. And I mean, no, I was talking about this with you the other day, Kels. when we were hanging out by the pool.
Yeah, pool day.
Yeah, talking about how like
pool day.
Pool day. Even though my current place is definitely a lot more expensive than what we were paying before, I feel like I either spend the same amount of money or less because all I want to do is be at that home and take advantage of the amenities they have there. I'm not like, if you're not super happy at home, you're usually out a lot, either spending money on like being like, I'm going to go out to dinner tonight because I don't feel like being here or being in this area, or I'm going to go spend money here, do this. And then all of a sudden it's like you kind of realize like, oh, wow, I've spent money on this place and now I just really want to enjoy it and be here as much as possible. So I think it's, if people are worried about expenses and stuff, I think it can even out.
Well, yeah, and what better thing? It's like when they talk about how, you know, you should buy nice bedding. And I was like, who has money for nice bedding? And they're like, you spent a third of your life in bed. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yes.
Like,
that's what got me to do the nice bedding that I bought, where I was you know, God, there really is so much time in your life spent in this fucking bed. You better make it nice.
Yeah. I love my bed.
Dude, Cam and I were choosing between, like, a relatively cheaper couch and, like, the one that we really wanted. And I'm like, you know what? We're going to use this every single day.
Yeah.
I will look at this. This will make me happy looking at it every single day. Let's just do it, bite the bullet, and like buy the one we want.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And boom.
And you know what's crazy? Yeah. I'm so careful about spending money. I think we all are.
Yeah.
And very reluctant to spend money. And I'm finally in a place right now, I feel like, where I am willing to blow so much money on having a convenient, comfortable, nice place to live.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Think about the gas money you're going to be saving.
Exactly.
Like, there's just so many things.
Right.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of like spending hours at like a Starbucks because you don't have somewhere to be or like eating out, you just go home.
Yeah.
And relax.
Yeah.
And you'll feel rested.
Right. I mean, there's still going to be some of that because LA is terrible.
Sure.
That's true.
And if you go to Santa Monica, you're basically on Mars.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very true.
But
fucking hate Santa Monica.
Also, like, during these hot summer months, if you're living in a place with no central AC, which is where Kane and I live.
Nightmare.
We live deep in the valley. No central AC. So there's like a 2-month period of time where there is no cooking in your home.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't dare turn on an oven or a stove.
Yeah.
You go out to eat every night. So that right there, like, we're spending so much money. Whereas if we had central AC, we would just stay home and cook.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And it puts a strain on your entire life.
Oh, my God. It's the absolute worst.
Kyle and I were congratulating ourselves the other night on the fact that we started dating essentially in the summer. And we've made a relationship work during the summer.
Oh,
we're like, oh, winter's going to be cake.
Oh, my God. Just ridiculous. Sweaty, uncomfortable people.
Yeah.
Our boyfriends. Well, fiance, boyfriend. I always feel weird now calling Kane a boyfriend accidentally because I'm like, I earned the fiance.
You did earn it.
You're betrothed.
I'm my betrothed. Our men had a man play date.
They did that whole play date.
That's freaking cute.
They played tennis.
They played tennis.
Okay, that's fucking adorable.
It's so cute. Kane texted me afterward and goes, your boy is a beast. And I was like, aw.
And you're like, I know.
I know. And then I saw him after and he's fucking texting Kane. I'm like, he's like, Kane texted me.
I know. Taylor sent me a video. Video of Kyle on his phone and Taylor's like, babe, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just texting Kane. She's like, pay attention to me. And I was like, this is so weird because I'm not kidding you, 10 minutes before that, Kane just fully absorbed in his phone. I haven't seen him all day. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just texting Kyle. And I was like, pay attention to me. And I was like, this is so weird.
That's funny. Was so precious. He's like, he complimented my serve. I'm like, all right, well, I'm here now. So
that's so...
I'm wearing shorts. So let's pay attention.
I swear that is like the ultimate female happiness.
It
is
really...
when like boyfriends
that
link
is
up.
Precious, oh, dude. Meanwhile, Cam's at home by himself playing Fortnite.
That's
love you, babe,
love
but
Cam.
It's true.
Is Cam like tennis? Is Cam a tennis guy?
I don't know if he's a tennis guy. I have no
Should
idea.
All go play tennis.
He played football and baseball and all those other things. But
he played football. I knew he played baseball.
He's good.
I think they all played baseball.
They all play baseball.
Yeah. Baseball guys.
Oh. Dude, we should join a freaking co-ed softball team or something again.
Yeah, I'll come watch you guys. I'm like the only one who wasn't athletic as a child. I feel like my marching band skills are not going to come into play, like marching backwards to catch a softball. Like, it's not going to happen. So I want everyone else to have fun, though.
You seem like you're a coordinated person, though.
I think I'm sure. I mean,
you
know, I don't know.
And you're so competitive. Like, Kane and I were talking about it last night. We were like, that's so surprising to me that she didn't play sports. Because I feel like...
Yeah. I just have broad shoulders.
Which is great for sports.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I don't
I
like,
just look
yeah.
like I play softball. That's all it is. Like, I don't think I never actually... I mean,
you're,
I played...
like, naturally athletic.
Yeah, I bet if we put, like, a racket or something in your hand, you'd get the hang
I've
of it pretty quick.
I've done a little bit of everything, but I never played, like, competitive sports. Like, okay. I played a little bit of tennis with my family because my sisters did tennis for a couple years. Like, I played soccer when I was a kid because my parents made us. Like, I did swimming over the summer because our parents were like, you're going to go swim. So, all of that stuff. All
right.
But I don't know. None of that stuff ever really appealed to me growing up.
That is so interesting.
More so than, like... if I ever wanted to do... I thought about doing... I almost joined the swim team in high school. But then...
I could see that.
It was too much practice. I think, you know what it was? I think I just stayed in marching band because I got PE credit for it. Because I mean, you'd be practicing for like 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
Walking around and stuff. And it is like a very specific walk and whatever. Yeah. It was exercise, everybody. I know it doesn't.
Oh, dude. I know. I don't do that.
I know how it is. Yeah. But it wasn't like cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. You did drumline.
Oh, God. It was brutal.
Yeah.
They ran a tight ship.
Oh, yeah.
They were like very militant.
Yeah.
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 I have a couple treat yourself.
Do it.
This is a thrifty treat yourself. I had a spare photo frame lying around, and I was like, you know what? I should spruce up my prosperity corner.
Ooh.
And I Googled money mantras, and girlboss.com has a great list of 20 positive money mantras and affirmations. So I just took the ones I liked the most, and I wrote them out on a piece of paper, and I framed it and hung it up in my prosperity corner.
And picture?
I don't have a picture of it, but I have the list. Yeah. Oh, I should.
Post on the group.
Send
it to me. Yeah.
Oh, smart. Okay, yeah. Yeah, it looks really cute. It's like a gold frame, so it looks like all money. You know what I mean? Like, it looks nice.
Yeah,
and I've been reading it out loud when I wake up and when I go to bed.
I love that.
Yeah, I'll share a few of them. So it says, you are a money magnet.
Hell yeah.
So I just turned it into, like, I say, I am a money magnet. money flows freely to me. I release all resistance to attracting money, which I love that.
Ooh,
like,
I love that.
Right? I feel like we've talked about that before on the finance episode where, like, sometimes we have that resistance to making
or
money
guilt,
for some reason.
Even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am worthy of a positive cash flow. There is always more than enough money in my life. My income exceeds my expenses.
Ooh, love that.
Love it.
I deserve to be paid for my skills, time, and knowledge. I have a positive relationship to money and know how to spend it. My income increases constantly. I'm connected to the universal supply of money. And they're great. It's a list of 20. I won't read all of them, but those
you
are some of my favorites.
You sound similar to, what's it called?
You're a Badass at Making Money?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
There were a lot of those in there.
Yeah.
And you know what? I do remember in You Are a Badass at Making Money, didn't she talk about... Or am I pulling this from somewhere else about like sort of making plans that are going to be more expensive and then that having attract money or like, like the whole spending money to make money type of deal?
Yeah.
Cause I've kind of felt like that lately where as soon as I feel like I've been trying to like hoard and save money for a long time and like been like afraid to do it. And then the minute I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a new place. It's going to be more expensive. I am okay with that. It's going to happen. I'm going to figure it out. And then I feel like opportunities came in, like kind of out of nowhere, where I was like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
I think she says something of that nature, like, look, go on that trip, do that thing, because when you do, that's when you meet that person that connects to this next thing and all that stuff. So it's like you're, by not having the mentality of like abundance, you're holding yourself back from opportunity, basically.
Yes.
You're kind of just keeping to yourself.
Damn
and
it.
You're scared and you're fearful. So,
well, it's such a slippery slope because it makes me feel like, oh shit, well, then Kane and I should just move to this expensive new place that we like.
I know, it's
but tough. Of course, my mind is just totally racked with fear that we'd get there and then 3 months into it be like, we can't afford this. What the fuck were we thinking? You know,
but
I don't know.
I think it's a good, you just got to be balanced of like not being too frugal, but not being too.
Hiding in your home and never spending a dime.
And it has to almost be, I feel like, directly connected to your career? Like, I feel like you would have to get to a point where you're like, if I don't move, like, this is affecting my career. Like, that's the point I had to get to with moving, was like, oh, this is affecting my career. It's making me not want to do these late night spots because I can't go home. Like, I just cancel spot. I, like, I can't do it. It's, it's spreading too thin.
Yeah.
And it's going to serve me better to be in LA and take more advantages of opportunities I have here.
Right.
Yeah. And as opposed to just like flippant spending. Like, if I was just like, oh, I'm going to buy a big old TV because money will come back, you know, like, I think that's different.
Yeah.
But a good example is like those pictures that I had taken. I didn't want to take those because they were expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave me like a crazy discount, which I'm probably not even going to accept because it's ridiculous for how nice those photos are. Right, I showed you guys those photos. They're ridiculous.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
And I've kind of gotten to a place with that where I'm like, oh no, it is worth it to reinvest in your career or your promotional materials or whatever else.
Yeah, also just your mental health. If spending that money is going to make your life better every day, I say fucking do it. Here's the thing. If you think like, look, I need to buy myself a massage once a month, that's what I have to do. It's expensive. But maybe that one massage every month is keeping you away from the freaking doctor every month instead, where you're spending even more money. It's
a good point.
It's all just preventative mental health and wellness. It, like, when I come home, I feel instantly relaxed and happy, and I have not been sick, you know, since I've been there, like all that stuff. When you come home and you feel like just there's shit everywhere or you feel stressed out, it affects you the entire time you're there. Like, I don't know. Just
that's what I mean about your moving. Yeah. I feel like if you get to a place where you're like, this is affecting my mental health.
Right.
And
it's time to go.
It's like, I think you just gotta.
And you'll figure it out. You'll
make it work. So fucking cheap. I mean, like,
it's cheap.
It's so cheap. It's crazy. I mean, when the police isn't banging, I don't think I shared that on the podcast. There's so much crazy. Yeah, that was a big to fuck. The police fucking like knocked down the door of my neighbor because he was a suspect in some sort of thing. And they figured out that it wasn't him, but it was a whole huge thing.
So this is like not the first incident that's happened in your area.
I fucking hate our area so much.
And just
I hate our area. Yeah. Like the amount of like scary homeless people that are just right outside our door, like menacing, like people who have gotten into our courtyard and then like cops have had to be called because these are like scary people. Jesus, man.
Kels, you gotta move.
Yeah.
Oh no.
You have to move. I keep forgetting about that.
It's
to move.
It's just not worth it. It's worth spending that extra money, and then you think you guys will figure it out. Like, you'll see, like, okay, we can probably cut down on this. Like you mentioned, eating out. Okay, we're gonna have to cut down on this.
But what about
this
wedding? The wedding is like a big expense.
The wedding is a big one. I mean, I don't know what your expenses are like, but is there a way to like do finance options with these venues, or how does that work? Do you put things on cards, pay them off, or whatever?
There's like no credit cards.
It's all just like ahead of time.
You were talking about how you didn't want to move laterally, like you didn't want to move anywhere that was but I think you could find something much better even for just like a few hundred dollars more a month.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think you're thinking either stay where you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Or go somewhere that's like $2,500 a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just for, especially for a one bedroom, or you could even get like a really nice studio or something.
Yeah.
I mean,
dude, even like an extended stay Airbnb or some shit. Like, I don't know. There's gotta be something out there because like that's something that is weighing on you every single day.
Yeah. I know. I hate it. Like,
And you've been there for a while.
I know, 4 years.
That's a long time.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, keep talking.
Yeah. It's hard to be somewhere you don't feel safe.
I know. It's hard though, because it's like, it's more than just me. It's also where like Kane is at with his income and if he feels comfortable doing that. It's it's a lot. But you know, I go look at apartments all the time. Like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
it's
you'll find something.
It's getting close, I promise.
Yeah.
I just don't know with like the universe how that works, if I should just take that leap and then money will come in, or if I take that leap and I'm like, fuck, what am I doing? I don't know.
Yeah. I think you'll know. So you'll know when you see it.
Yeah. Keep reading my money mantra.
You'll have the feelings. Dude, when I saw that apartment, I'm like, that's my apartment. And I just saw a picture of it online. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to live there.
That's
yours. I just knew it. And then I walked in. I'm like, yep, I want this. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
This is mine. Thanks.
Yeah.
I love that you just went in, guns blazing, like, how do I get this apartment? Oh, yeah. She's like, you could come earlier. And you're like, I'll be here in the morning.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I will see you. I'll bring coffee.
Yeah. Go for it.
I'm worried about moving again because I always get nervous about the fact that I don't have pay stubs.
That's how, yeah, you know, it's what, like, I mean? It's such a complicated thing.
Like bank stuff or like the last few things that have come in. Because look, it's a city of entertainers. You're not the only ones that don't have conventional pay stubs. So there's gotta be.
But like for references, you have to almost put like your agents or something and you're like your managers to be like, oh yeah, no, they're making, and you have to kind of guess how much you're making on average. The one I did my first apartment in LA, they had a thing that said like show how much you like basically write down your bank account and like how much you have in your accounts.
Yeah.
Which I could do that, but I don't know that every application process is like that because I get like everything direct deposit from my agencies now. So I don't even have like a stub or a check.
Then you just put your references as your reps and stuff.
Yeah.
There's ways around it.
Yeah.
Don't put roadblocks. Don't do it.
I know. Don't do it.
Delaney keeps us in check. She's like, I smell a roadblock.
I smell some self-sabotage.
I know.
Delaney smells like shit.
Delaney is sharp with that.
But all of it, the
like
nice
a
thing
dog.
About,
like an ears twitching.
The nice thing about all of us is like, if you met any of us in person, you'd be like, oh, I for sure want them to live here. Because we just seem responsible.
Yeah.
And like we have our shit together.
Yeah. I'm not going to be disruptive.
But you're right. There's so many freelance people and people who are running their own stuff.
I know.
I mean, yeah.
But all these places I like either don't allow cats or it's a 2-cat maximum. And so then I'm like hiding the third, like fucking Anne Frank, which is not a comfortable way to live. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be shoving a cat in the fucking room every time a maintenance guy comes in. It's just, I don't know.
Right.
Do maintenance guys give a shit?
I feel like they.
Well, but at those places where they charge per pet. If somebody walks in and sees 3 cats and there's only supposed to be 2, people are like, oh, they're...
Tell them they had a kitten.
They have a full-grown kitten.
Maybe popped out this way.
It's a miracle.
You rescued it for the night.
It's your cat sitting.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that. Like, my brother's just in Europe for work for 2 months, and we're just agreeing to watch his cat.
Dude, freaking drop it off at mine and Cam's place for the day or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay, like, drop it off at... Have somebody... cat sit for the day. If you know, like, look, we're gonna get our something fridge fixed today, you mind if you know Griffy spends the night or whatever? Like, just you can probably find that, and they'll never know. I mean we've had one maintenance person in our apartment the whole time we've moved and lived in our new place, and it was just to fix a light, and he was in and out like within a couple minutes. So
I
think you can work around that.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm not a fan of lying, but that's just like
I know.
It's just a freaking technicality.
I know. Anyway, we went way down the apartment rabbit hole. Yeah. Should we get into our main topic?
We can't stress this enough. We do not hang out very much.
I know. Like, you have to let us have these minutes together.
Oh my gosh,
all we have.
It's so nice to do episodes with no guests. We love our guests. You're all amazing. But it's so nice to like catch up.
I have a quotable I found that I like.
Sure.
I know.
Do
this,
it.
This probably would have been good for our intuitive eating episode, but this has really stuck with me because I'm not a super big fan of working out. Exercise is a celebration of what your body can do, not a punishment for what you ate.
That is so solid. Classic.
This is from Love Sweat Fitness, Health Magazine, whatever, something like that.
I find it surprising that you don't like to work out given the fact that you were an athlete growing up.
I think that might be why,
it's
though.
Because of that.
I think it was like that, not force, but it was that I felt like I didn't have a choice in it. And I was going through like major workouts. Like I was a collegiate rower, you know? I was doing...
That's so
6
badass.
Days a week for 5 hours, lift weight,
5 hours
weight training for 3 of those days, barfing in trash cans in between workouts. I mean, it made
it not
fun. And so I'm finally at a place where as like an adult, I'm like, okay, I don't have to be extreme. I don't have to work out to the point where I'm throwing up. Yeah. I can just do things that feel good for my body, and that's enough. I've been like way too black and white with exercise, which I think we kind of talked about, where it's like I either have to go full on and, you know, kill myself, or I do nothing. But I need to find a happy medium, you know?
I feel the same way. I think another reason why it's so hard to transition from sports to just like going on a treadmill is that when you were working out before, it was always in a game. It's like you're not, your mind's not even thinking, I'm working out right now. Yes. Your mind's thinking, I'm playing this game, I'm trying to win. You're not even aware that this is technically like
absolutely
exercise.
That it's makes just, sense.
You're playing the sport. And did you ever have to do boards?
What's
they ever make you do boards? It's like the worst. It's almost guaranteed you'll throw up.
Like suicide?
They take wooden planks. This is both in basketball and volleyball, and as like cardio punishment, you would take these planks of wood that were wrapped in towels, and you would have to essentially like on your feet and hands, like bear crawl position, push them like fast, like running on your, you know, does that make sense? Can you picture what I'm talking about? And everybody's like, all the coaches were like, don't look down because you'll throw up because you get too dizzy, but you throw up anyway because you're just like, it's insane.
Yeah. No. I think it's a little, it's like a little traumatizing when you really think about it.
None of that sounds like fun.
I used
like,
to go to week-long sports camps where you would stay on like a college campus and it was like up at 7 a.m. working out until like midnight and you'd do it all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all day.
Too intense.
Craziness.
No. Nope.
Too intense. And now you're like supposed to find this like happy medium as a former athlete or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's very challenging.
It really is.
To me, I'm like, oh God, but I know what like a quote unquote real workout feels like.
Right.
And me stretching in my bedroom doesn't feel like that.
No,
so
you
I
don't
feel
have
like,
to be.
Is this even doing anything? You know what I mean? And you got to just really wipe that mentality.
You don't have to be immobilized the next day.
But that's all we, like, to me, that's when I'm like, I did it.
Yeah.
Or like, I
that
actually
is so
did it.
Interesting. See, if I work out that hard where, like, it's difficult for me to walk, I'm like, I went too hard and maybe I hurt myself. Like, that's where I don't, because I never had those team sport, like, experiences.
Right.
So I've never been pushed by a coach until I threw up. That sounds horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, for me, when I discovered working out, it was, like, more at my own pace. And it was like, oh, I feel better when I do this.
Yeah.
So it was just so different than your guys' experience.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And now I'm, like, almost afraid of intense workout. I'm not afraid, but, like, I'm pretty avoidant of it where I just – if I'm going to do something, even if like I'm on a basketball in a basketball league with like Cam, you know, through our work and stuff, like I don't really push myself because I'm like, this is not a real competition to me. I'm not going to hurt myself.
Yeah.
I know what a real competition feels like when we're trying to like make state and this ain't it. Like I can't even separate like, look, this is, I'm just going to do some light stuff here and you know,
where I'm like jazz piano.
Yeah, it's like,
it's a very Brian Regan movement.
Yeah.
That was such a Brian Regan. Hey, he has the funniest joke where he makes a joke about which it's not, it's just a short joke about where he says he's been dating two women at once and he just looks in the eyes and he's like and it's the funniest thing. Just the
So funny.
Just, and then it's a quick joke that's hilarious, of course, but it's, you know, to the point where you're like, oh no, he's not. But,
oh my god,
just the move of like,
hey ladies,
it's so funny.
Oh my
god, I love me some Brian Regan.
Yeah, we still need to go back to Vegas just to like,
just to,
I just want to drink with Brian Regan.
Oh my god, yeah, what a dream.
Yeah.
Should we get into the meat?
Yeah.
Did we do enough segments?
I think we did.
Okay. Did we do enough segments? 30 minutes later.
Yeah, right? We really did.
So again, we're talking about loneliness today, and I was shocked at some of the findings when I kind of researched, you know, some of the stats and stuff, but just kind of to start out with a brief definition, I guess.
Sure.
Loneliness can be normal and is only an indicator of underlying disease when feelings become excessive, all-consuming, and interferes with daily living. A mental health disorder characterized by persistently depressed mood or loss of interest in activities, etc. Basically, it's normal unless it's really, really taking over your life.
Yeah, and pervasive, it's constant.
Right. And then there was, I don't know where I found this article, but it was really interesting. You guys can find it. It's called Seven Types of Loneliness.
I'm really interested to hear what
right.
this is.
I know. And they're like, oh, the seven types of loneliness could be, one, new situation loneliness. Well, you know, you've moved to a new city where you don't know anybody, or you started a new job, or you started at a school full of unfamiliar faces. You're lonely. Number two, I'm different loneliness. You're in a place that's not familiar or not unfamiliar, but you feel different from other people in an important way that makes you feel isolated. Maybe your faith is really important to you and the people around you don't share that or vice versa. Maybe everyone loves doing outdoor activities, but you don't, etc. Number three, no sweetheart loneliness. Even if you have lots of family and friends, you feel lonely because you don't have the intimate attachment of a romantic partner.
Oh, this is so interesting, right? That somebody's broken, because I'm like, yeah, there really are so many like, types of loneliness. Like,
yeah, I've experienced all of these.
Absolutely.
It's so interesting.
No sweetheart loneliness.
Right? Oh, dude, so I had that hard. Oh, man.
My God.
It's like a 60s radio DJ.
No sweetheart to that? This one goes out to you.
Boom, boom, boom. Oh, man. Number four, no animal loneliness. Many people have a deep need to connect with animals. Oh, if this describes you, you're sustained by these relationships in a way that human relationships don't replace. Feel you.
Yep. Really?
Oh, some people are like animal people.
Yeah.
You know, like
you feel like, humans can't replace an animal, like you have to have an animal relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, when I'm on the road and I'm away from my cats, it's a huge difference to me.
Wow.
Like anytime I go to New York and I stay with my friend in her apartment, I love being around her, and she definitely fulfills that like person to person loneliness void, but I can definitely feel like there are no creatures in this apartment, and this saddens me. Like it's just a different energy.
Yeah,
it's a different thing.
That was the most Disney princess sentence I've ever heard. There are no creatures in this apartment, and it saddens me.
Oh my God,
you are precious.
I didn't even realize
Cinderella.
That.
Wow.
Oof. That written out sounded.
While she was saying it, she was making a bow tie for a mouse. You make me feel like a monster.
Oh, man. So do you think it's like a unconditional love type of feeling that you get from an animal versus a person? Like there's no...
It's just a different... To me, animals are... They're just... I'm sounding like a fucking Disney person again. They're just really pure. Like, they don't have bad intentions or they're not, like, selfish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like...
How do you know, though?
Well, my cats, at least.
I mean,
the way I feel with my pets, you know, you get to pick your fucking pet. And I picked pets that I could tell when I was around them. I was like, these are just loving, sweet creatures. They're not assholes. I mean, I've definitely been around asshole cats who you're petting them and all of a sudden they just turn around and bite the shit out of your hand for no reason. Well, what the fuck was
those
that about?
Those were all the cats I had growing up, which ruined cats for me.
And I've been there. And when I'm around those cats, I'm like, I'm not getting the you know, fucking thing I want from this animal interaction.
Right. Yeah.
But with my cats, it's just, it's so nice to me. It's such a nice break from human beings. And like,
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Social media, when I've got, if I'm on my bed and I've got all three cats on the bed with me, oh, it's just the nicest. It just like fills me up, you know. It's like, aww. I got my, they're just happy and they're soft, like they're so nice to touch, they're so soft and like cuddly.
God, like, everything I say, I just feel like I'm being
so
judged.
Sweet. No, no one's judging. I'm judging myself that animals don't make me feel that way. Yeah. I like, if I see a dog out and it's really cute, I'm like, oh, puppy. But I don't, there's no part of me that's like, I need to take that dog home.
Right.
If I see a baby, I'm like, oh yeah. Like that messes with me.
Yeah. You're a baby person.
I think I'm
more of a baby. She's a kitty person.
Yeah.
Kitty,
I wish I was
puppy.
A kitty would be way easier than babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, cats are very low maintenance. Like, I wish I liked them more than dogs, yeah, as far as like the idea of having one.
Yeah. I like them. I just, yeah, no animal has ever seemed worth the trouble to me.
Really?
To have, yeah, just, oh, to clean up hair.
It is a lot of work.
And oh, it just seems like a lot of work. It's like, you know, in the same way that some people probably feel about, like, sure, I would love to have a garden, but I'm not going to take the time to tend a garden.
Sure, yeah.
I'll just walk to Ralph's and buy a tomato.
Right, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't, like, you don't pet a fucking carrot plant.
That's, well, true, but you eat it, it's do, nourishing, and your relationship with your cats is nourishing.
I guess, but I get nourishment from my cats every 30 seconds. A carrot takes fucking 3 months to grow, and then you eat it in yeah, 5 seconds, and it's done. I just feel like you don't get the same.
Yeah,
it's not as much.
It's not really a good analogy, I guess. And then whenever we're over at your place, and like your cat sits on me and stuff, I'm like, oh, I get it. This is really,
yeah,
nice.
It's really nice.
It's relaxing.
Right?
Yeah, it is, yeah, relaxing.
I mean,
yeah,
studies have shown that there's an, it actually like releases a chemical in your brain when there's an animal sitting on you. That's why they have like therapy dogs and stuff, yeah, like that, because it makes you feel less anxious. It makes, right, you feel totally better.
I like cats a lot better than dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think I knew that about you.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I'm way more of a cat person. I had more cats, huh, growing up than I had dogs.
Really?
Yeah. My stepmom had dogs, but I didn't really like any of them. I like her dog now. Her dog now is pretty great.
Yeah.
None of my cats were friendly.
They're a fickle species. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
A just nice don't want to chance it. Nice.
Yeah. I'm like this close. I was just brainstorming this and I was like, this is getting bad. I'm going to start having like a little bag of cat treats with me in my purse because, aww, I came home the other night from a show and there's this feral stray cat who hangs around the apartment. I can tell he's hungry, but he's too scared to get close to me.
Oh.
And so I just like, I'll sit with him for like 10 minutes and he'll let me get like 5 feet away. And then I try to get closer and he runs. But if I had treats with me, then I could at least like feed him.
Yeah.
But if I go into the apartment, get treats and come back, he's usually not there.
Oh.
So I'm like, this is who I'm becoming now. Yeah. I'm like,
this is why you're burnt out, Kelsey, because you're spending like hours a week probably on the ground coaxing feral cats to you.
I can't, I don't know how to stop. Like, it's too
much. I know, you're,
it's
so
too
sweet,
much. I tried to like shut down that pet store in New York and it's still, yeah, I was just telling Kane about it the other day, like it still really upsets me that,
yeah,
there are like animals there and I feel like I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, it really, it's like, it's too much.
You would be a really good voice for like animal activist type of shit, like on Instagram and stuff. And,
yeah,
what if you could like partner with a shelter or something and like get the word about like, oh, this cat needs a home right now.
Yeah.
Who's out there? Like, you, I mean, you have like a nice like social media following and stuff. You could,
yeah,
probably,
yeah,
get involved. Maybe that make, okay, that would kind of fill that need a little bit,
yeah,
to where it's not always, oh gosh, like I have to do this thing all by myself, but I could just do a post about something and be like,
right,
hey guys, this cat needs a home, you know?
But I feel like I such know a hypocrite because I'm not vegan. You know, like, what? Nikki Glaser,
dude,
so like, you know, she does do all that animal activist stuff and she's vegan, but I feel like a piece of shit because I'm like, oh my god, these animals are suffering,
no,
and then I'm,
no,
eating like a, look, steak, you know, it's like, I, yeah, feel like,
everybody,
shit,
everybody's different, we, yeah, all got things, nobody's perfect. Look, some people think they're more enlightened because they're vegan, some people think they're more enlightened because they're minimalists, everybody,
yeah,
feels more enlightened in some way,
yeah,
you know, some people could be a vegan but a twat, like at Starbucks,
right,
to the cashier.
That's,
you know what,
true,
I'm saying, it's like it doesn't matter. Like, if you want to,
yeah,
do something nice, don't let all these other things kind of get in the way of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maybe I'll look into that.
You're,
I just want to, like,
a really good idea.
I wish I could do more than,
yeah,
I can't have any more cats. Three is too many.
You,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
can't.
That's,
you got,
I'm
some
saying,
hefty cats.
No.
Each one of your cats is 2.5 cats.
I have a lot of meat.
Yeah.
They look like they eat other cats.
Yeah.
They,
yeah,
are big.
You don't want to burden yourself,
no,
more, but like, I think you would be a really good, you know, cat,
thanks,
activist or whatever,
yeah,
you want to do.
Cat activist. No,
it
was,
oh, what an ass cat you are.
I will always be on board with word combos.
Yeah.
You do that anytime.
Dude,
I
love puns.
Think they're delightful. I do it all the time.
Yeah, great.
That's 90% of mine and Kane's relationship. We're just mashing words together.
Best.
Oh, my
good,
gosh.
Laugh.
Are we continuing?
Yeah, keep
the
going.
Continue, please.
So many tangents this episode.
Yeah.
Number 5, no time for me loneliness. Sometimes,
ooh,
you're surrounded by people who seem friendly enough, but they don't want to make the jump from friendly to friends. Maybe they're too busy with,
hello,
their own
Los
lives.
Angeles.
Or what?
Yeah.
I said, hello, Los Angeles.
Oh,
geez,
man.
Dude.
Bunch of users.
Yeah, but they don't,
yeah,
make the jump. Maybe they're too busy with their own lives or they have lots of friends already. So while you'd like a deeper connection, they don't seem interested, etc. Okay.
Yep.
Number 6, untrustworthy friends loneliness. Sometimes you get in a situation where you begin,
yep,
to doubt whether your friends are truly well-intentioned, kind, and helpful. Your friends,
again,
with people,
hello, Los Angeles.
Right?
Yeah.
With people, but don't quite trust them. Oh, man. Yeah. 7, quiet presence loneliness. Sometimes you may feel lonely because you miss having someone else's quiet presence. You may have an active social circle at work or have plenty of friends and family, but you miss having someone to hang out with at home, whether that would mean living with a roommate, family member, or a sweetheart. Mm. Yeah.
This is
all those are I love so that great. List. Dead on, dude.
Thank you for finding that.
Yeah. I've 100% experienced all of those.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'd be amazed if somebody hadn't experienced all those at some point in their life, right?
I think it's so normal. Even better, I think there's a lot you can do to alleviate that. Now, I was super shocked by some of the statistics I read. So let's see. One thing I found, young adults are more likely to feel lonely than older age groups, says a study from the Office.
Young adults?
National Statistics. The research found that almost 10% of people aged 16 to 24 were always or often lonely, the highest proportion of any age group. This was more than 3 times higher than people aged 65 and older. Studies are finding that younger people, like our age, are the loneliest. Isn't that insane?
I mean,
that blew my mind. And there was another one. There was a nationwide survey of 20,000 adults and found that 54% of respondents said they feel like no one actually knows them well. And PR reports, additionally, 56% of people said the people they surround themselves around are not necessarily with them, and approximately 40% said they lack companionship, their relationship aren't meaningful, and they feel isolated from others. Basically, the study found that nearly half of all Americans feel lonely, with young people in particular experiencing the brunt of that pain.
Do you think that's the case because there's so much pressure on us to always be out, like, having fun and being young and partying?
Social media?
I was just going to say, I feel like number 8 on that list should have been social media loneliness and the FOMO thing.
Yeah.
Because I know I'll be having a fine day, I won't feel too lonely, and then if I just scroll for a little too long on Instagram, it's like popcorn. Like, you might just hit, like, 3 posts in a row where you're like, oh, God, now I feel like... shit, like, I'm not doing anything, or like, all these people are having fun without me.
Yeah. Why aren't I in Greece?
Right? Why aren't I in this person's wedding that I don't know?
Why aren't I in this wedding? I've been following you for 3 years.
Yeah.
Hey. No, yeah. It's true, though, because I feel like a lot of people are substituting, you know, surface interaction with real connection.
Yeah.
You know, or like you post a picture and that's your interaction for the day or something. But no, I was really shocked to find that young people are the loneliest, unless they felt like they haven't reached that phase where they've met, you know, a significant other that they're really in love with, or maybe, you know, if they want kids, they don't have them yet. And maybe what they said, by age 65, you have more of those things, or you kind of know yourself better. You know the people close to you better. I'm not sure, but I will say the loneliest I ever felt was in college.
Same.
Yeah. Me too, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I luckily grateful that I have not experienced that loneliness really since then. I had like a falling out with a couple of my friends my freshman year of college, and I remember several months after that was really tough, because I would be like eating alone in the dining commons or doing all these things, and like really, really trying to like branch out and meet new people, which is so, you know, hard to do.
Yeah.
What are the loneliest like moments you guys kind of remember that you've experienced?
I mean, we talked about it, I think, a little bit when we were talking about like wasn't we talking about binge eating and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Where we're talking about like just freshman year of college was really rough for me. Anytime I think you uproot and go to a new place, which I think was number 1 on the list, right? Like,
oh, I think so. Yeah, new area.
New area loneliness.
Something like that.
Going to a new place out of state for college, that immediately made me feel super lonely. I feel like after every breakup, I felt really lonely.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
That was freshman year of college. And then after the breakup with my borderline ex, I had kind of moved to Seattle slightly for him, also for my career, but when we broke up, I was like, oh man, I don't really know anybody else here. I was living alone. I was like in a one bedroom by myself. And that was some loneliness for sure.
Oh dude, yeah, that I was gonna say, yeah, the breakup and the college situation, that all kind of happened at once for me. I broke up with the boyfriend. I was living by myself in like a single dorm. I felt like I had just lost like my only close friends in college. Everything was very isolative. And I really, really pushed through and tried to make some huge changes because I knew like, look, if this doesn't change, like I want to go home. Like I want to either go home or transfer somewhere else where I can really start over.
Yeah.
And within 6 months, I moved into a house with a bunch of girls. I got a job working at Trader Joe's where I met a bunch of awesome people.
The
friendliest
place on the planet.
Yes.
Met one of my best friends there. And even just those two things just changed my world.
Wow.
Even just doing that, just like really so out of my comfort zone. I lived, can you guys picture me living in a senior sorority house with, you know, a sorority that I'm not even in?
Dude, that's what I did.
Right? Living in a triple room.
Yes,
you know,
that's like what I did. Fucking the sleeping porch. Oh my God. What an atrocity. I can't believe that that's even legal. Just. Oh, fuck. It's like an orphanage. You're just an orphanage for drunk adults. Just lines or just rows and rows of bunk beds.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You had to be the human alarm clock. Have you heard of this?
No.
In the sorority, there was like almost like a chore wheel where there were different duties every week. And sometimes you had to be the human alarm clock where you would wake up at 5 a.m. and you were given a list of the times where you had to go to certain bunks and wake people up. And they could human snooze you. They could.
What?
They could press on your face and say snooze, and then you'd have to go back 15 minutes later.
Kelsey, you were bullied. Okay.
Yeah, that isn't.
I was
bullying.
Oh my God, that no, I did not. I was not in a sorority house. I was in the sorority. The people who were in the sorority, they had left the house, and for their senior year, just got a house with all of them together, far away from the actual house. Oh no, I don't know if I could have done it.
I was in the trash.
I lived in their garage.
Oh, well, that also sounds horrific.
But honestly, it was the best year, one of the best years of my life, living in that house with all those girls. Because, like, I connected with so many of them, and it was such a step outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
I had never been interested in, like, joining a sorority. I just, you know, didn't really think it was for me or a good fit. And you realize that you have a lot more in common with people that you don't think you're going to have in common with than you think. And it was such a blast. It was a great time. I met some of my closest friends ever. And, yeah, it's just those things that you don't really expect to kind of change your life are the things that do, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's
But
I
no,
feel
that
like
freaking whoever, snooze shit does not sound
that's
good.
That's insane. You should sue whoever.
I had to get the fuck out of there.
I've never heard of that.
Not for me. There's so many people like that when they were giving me the tour, they were like, I'm telling you, this is the best sleep I've ever had in my life because it's always dark and it's always quiet and it's so nice. And I don't know who the fuck felt that way, but I did not. I felt so uncomfortable. I was on the fucking top bunk. I am telling you, it was crazy. I would never ever do that again.
Oh man.
But
another time when I felt really lonely was just like after a string of unsuccessful dating / relationships / hookups where I like did not feel like I was connecting with anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that feeling and that longing of like, I just want a boyfriend. I just want to find my person. And there's nothing I can do about it besides online date and just put myself out there. And even if I do that, there's no guarantee that I'm going to meet somebody I actually like.
Yeah.
That was probably the loneliness, like the loneliness that I've really felt is like, I've always wanted that really deep soulmate kind of connection with somebody.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like you have a certain type of loneliness that hits you the most now?
Yeah. Being on the road.
Being on the road.
It really hit me this last weekend. I did a couple colleges. And doing colleges is the way that I started doing comedy full time. That was what helped me like make my
bread
dreams
and butter.
Come true. And when I started doing them, I had just turned 21. I'm going to be 25 this year. I mean, it's not that long ago, but it's a big chunk of my life.
Right.
And they're like children to me now. Like I have nothing in common with them. At most, I have stuff in common with the student activities director,
right,
who is probably my age and graduated. Like those are the people I connect with now when I go, and I'm like, they don't really get it, do they? And she's like, no, she's like, well, they're not working, and some of them haven't had sex yet. Like, they just don't, they don't get any of those jokes. Right. They're not sad enough yet. Like, you know, you just, there's things like that. So that in and of itself is very isolating. When I don't take care of myself on the road and then I'm just alone in like a shitty hotel, which was this weekend. I mean, I was in this hotel, on one side was a field and on the other side was a Denny's. Oh my gosh. And I get weird, like, when I'm alone and I haven't slept and I like missed that flight and went to the wrong airport. Like, when shit's going wrong and you have taken three red eyes in 3 days and the shows are weird or it feels like work and you're not performing with other people. Like, this weekend I met the, I'm gonna be in Syracuse, but like, I know the other two comics were on the shows with me. Yeah. And even if I didn't, there's two other comics on the shows with me.
Yeah.
So at least when you go to the club at night, you know you're gonna be interacting with people who at least understand you on a certain level because they're comics. But when you're just alone in these like crappy hotel rooms, sleeping on sheets that smell like somebody else, and you feel like everyone, you feel like everyone you care about is living their life back at home. And that it's like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. When I was about to go on the road for the first time, Dat Fan, who is the original winner of Last Comic Standing, was doing the comedy club where I grew up, and I asked him about doing the road, and he's like, did you see Interstellar? Because that had just come out. And I said, yeah. And he said, you know how he comes back and everybody you knew was older? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, that's what the road is like. And it's kind of true. Once you get out here, is like, I've been like checking back in with the guy I was dating at the time, that first year and a half that I was doing comedy all the time, just to see like what I was like, because I think I asked him, I was like, was I having nightmares? And he was like, yeah, you were, and it had been happening for a while, because I didn't realize how long it had been going on. It's been going on for years. Yeah. And I was like, he's like, you were just going through so much. He's like, it's a huge change. You were gone for weeks on end in like the snow by yourself. I have no idea how I got through it.
The nightmares thing really is so interesting, because I might have one once a month or something, but you have them regularly, like bad ones.
If I don't take an edible and put in headphones and listen to a podcast, I will at least have sort of semi unsettling dreams.
There's got to be a route to that. Is that just anxiety and just everything's playing out in your head? And
yeah, you're just always worried. Gosh. You're just always playing out the worst possible scenarios and situations, which is also very isolating and what makes you feel really lonely. Because when you're so far away and you can't, like, it was crazy. Like, Kyle picked me up from the airport this weekend, and the instant relief I felt once I got back. I mean, I was on the road on the phone with him, just like, I feel like a completely different person right now. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you feel like that on the road, where you're like, I know if I was home with Kane, I would feel completely different with the cats and with my food. But I just went to Denny's and had eggs that taste wrong. And now I'm at this Days Inn.
And then you go to sleep and you don't even get relief because you're having nightmares.
Right.
Well, when you're alone, you lose your reflecting mirrors. So, like, the important people in your life reflect back to you who you are. But when you're alone, you kind of are like, oh, who am I? Like, how do I assess who I am right now? It's a lot. I started taking magnesium supplements based on Alex, the nutritionist's recommendation, and they've been helping Kane and I sleep tremendously.
I need to try that again. I tried it for a little while.
Did you get the Natural Calm, the powder?
I didn't get the powder. I got pills.
So the powder is the best. Powder. You can kind of like ration it out. It says to start with like half a teaspoon each night, and then like once you kind of get used to it, you can build up a little bit more. But it's pretty amazing. Like, Kane and I take it, and then and I mean, within like 20 to 30 minutes, he and I are both like, we need to go to sleep.
Oh, wow.
It's nice. There's none of that.
Well, that's good.
You know, like, just looking at your ceiling like, fuck, why can't I fall asleep fast? It's really nice.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping through the night. I'm telling you, if you have problems sleeping, check out magnesium. I'm really glad she recommended it.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Like, I don't feel, I don't remember the last time I felt lonely.
That's great.
I think it was, you know, I don't remember a specific, like, oh, this really sucks, but anytime I was doing stand up around, anytime surrounding stand up, driving there, being in the green room, driving back, that all felt very lonely. Yeah. And I would always feel like a sense of relief when I made it home.
Yeah.
Or, if I recognize like somebody that I was closer to in the green room and I could just sit next to them and be like, God, I don't want to be here. Like, do you feel this way? You know, like I felt like I was just kind of floating around, not with no direction really, and no like focus on what I actually wanted and that. But honestly, I have not felt that way. I have not felt that way since I left. So like another reason why I know like I really made the right decision for myself. Yeah. You know, because like I don't feel lonely at work or around friends or with Cam. Yeah, like I love being alone. I love my alone time and I love my downtime. So I haven't really felt like, I don't know. I keep myself busy. I don't know. I always have like a project or something I want to do or something I want to read. Like my alone time never feels lonely. It feels really pleasant.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, I do think there are some benefits to being lonely every once in a while, because I do think it can be motivating, like what you were talking about as far as going to college and then being like, and within 6 months I was in a house with these girls and I had gotten more involved and all that kind of stuff. It's definitely motivated me, like especially on the road. Sometimes it'll motivate me to work out because that'll be the only way to kind of combat those feelings. I mean, and a lot of times when I went away to college, supremely lonely. But that's what made me come home and start doing stand-up more regularly, and what made me realize I needed to do it. And I think it helps sometimes to get to that place and kind of hit that rock bottom of being lonely, because it makes you, while you do lose your reflecting mirrors, you do kind of have to look at yourself head-on, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
But I think it is possible to use that time to kind of reevaluate some stuff. I mean, I was very lonely right before the three of us started working together. That was the beginning of that year that I was single, after I hadn't been for like 3.5 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was dealing with the fact that I had been in relationships back to back to back, and that knowing that I needed to be alone for a long time.
Right.
Or at least a sizable amount of time. And like, and just being in LA and not feeling like I belonged there and not having anybody, like that whole, that type of loneliness we were talking about, where you felt like none of your friends were close enough or genuine enough.
Right.
And, you know, when we all started working together, that was like such a huge thing. That was huge. Yeah. I mean, in the same way, I think we've talked about it. It felt like meeting like your soulmate in a way.
Yeah.
Like, it was like meeting your work soulmates.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, meeting the person you're supposed to be with also, like those are all huge things and really fill you up in a way that it almost makes it hard to remember being that lonely. Like you were saying, you don't remember the last time you were lonely. It makes it, I think, being in a good place and having all of those pillars of relationships in your life make it hard to even recall what it was like, because you just can't imagine not having it now.
Well, it's one of those, it's just so hard, because once you feel that connection with somebody, like all that shit can just go away. Or once you feel that connection with yourself, all that stuff can just go away so quickly.
Yeah. Right.
Like that horrible feeling of loneliness can literally change overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, you can meet one person or a group of people. You can finally like meet that book club group that you go there and you're like, oh my God, these are my people. And you can go home that night feeling that weight, so that relief.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part, is like you can spend so much time like feeling really miserable, and then one thing can change all of it. So if anybody's feeling lonely, like there is hope to get out of this shit and get out of it quickly.
Yes. Oh yeah.
And like you said, like the loneliness really, that the all those uncomfortable kind of periods of time, that's when you do the most great work on yourself and like really grow and change and push yourself and do things that you didn't think you could do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like a scary, beautiful, you know, pile of shit, right? Like,
that's true. I feel like I still have a pretty steady amount of loneliness from career stuff and social media stuff every day.
Really?
Yeah. And I think being in LA amplifies that. Like anytime I go home and kind of remove myself, it's like I feel like it gets muted a little bit because you're just not in it. But when you're here and you're around everybody who's like working and doing stuff, and you get on social media and you see what everybody else is doing, it is that weird like emptiness where it feels like no matter what you do, no matter what you've accomplished, there's still so much more to accomplish.
Right.
And everybody's doing something. Excuse me. And it's such a bummer. I feel like that takes away my happiness on a daily basis if I let that shit get to me too much.
Have you ever done like a social media challenge where you go a week without it, 2 weeks without it, 3 weeks without it, anything like that? No, well, not without it, but just like you're going on because you're posting something and then you're not looking at anything else.
Yeah.
Obviously, social media is a tool that you guys need for your career that many people need. But if you're just going like, look, I'm going on at 10 a.m. I'm posting a picture. I'm not looking at the comments. I'm not scrolling through anybody's shit.
Yeah.
That's it.
I did that over the weekend. I didn't post anything over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I only let myself check it like 3 times a day.
Yeah.
I check it in the morning. I check it in the afternoon. I check it at night. And I did feel so much better. I was like, this is healthy.
Yes.
This is how you should be doing it every day. And then as soon as the week started and I posted something like today and yesterday, it's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a compulsive behavior. If I kept track in a day of how often I get on Instagram, I mean,
really?
Oh, I don't want to even put
it's
a number.
Mindless.
It's I'm sure it's close to 100 times.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not kidding you. It's it's mindless. It's just my phone is in my hand all the time. Especially when you post something and you want that like good feeling of seeing the little likes come in and the little comments.
Yeah.
I'll check it every like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I think I have a challenge for you. Because here's the thing. What I'm hearing is this really affects you. Where I can check social media all day and it doesn't affect me the way it does you.
It hits me hard.
So if it's hitting you hard, you have to change your behavior around it, right?
You're right.
Like, just if I was like, look, if I worked at freaking In-N-Out, I wouldn't be able to control myself. Where somebody else could work at In-N-Out and they'd be like, I don't eat burgers. You know what I mean? But I really think like, man, if it's affecting you that much, it's an issue.
Yeah, no, it's a good
point. And like, dude, I'm just like, treat it as like this is for work and that's it and I'm doing this now. Like I'm posting it, not looking, you know, boom.
Yeah.
I wanna see how long you can maybe do. What if you check in a week?
Okay.
With us. Because if you're like me, you need, which I feel like you are, you need like outside accountability partner type of stuff.
Yeah.
So you probably need me to say like, don't scroll through social media. I'm going to talk to you next Tuesday to see how you did.
Yeah.
And tell me how you feel.
Okay.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
I will be on your ass.
I felt like we needed to high five at the end. That's Chris.
There we go.
That was
Chris like iceberg lettuce.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
But that's a good hashtag goal. We haven't done that in a while.
Gosh,
we used to do things.
All right. Well, we are, I think, a little bit over an hour. Oh, so let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it.
We got a Patreon episode to record for you guys.
Yes, we do.
Oh,
man, I love those
good, because I got some stuff to talk about that is not safe for work.
Yeah, same. Also, loneliness can affect you physically and your physical health. So if you really are feeling like prolonged loneliness, really let's try to figure it out, whether it's talking to somebody, getting involved in a group, changing your environment, changing your job, because it can lead to depression, increased stress levels, decreased memory and learning, antisocial behavior, poor decision making, drug abuse, even can progress Alzheimer's, like if you're predisposed to that. So there's a lot of physical stuff that can happen because of loneliness. It's definitely not something to take lightly.
Yeah.
And we've all felt it and it's fucking sucks. So
join our Facebook group.
Oh my God, the Facebook group is such a great cure for loneliness.
Such a nice, seriously, this sounds like a shameless plug, but it's really not. I go on there sometimes.
Yeah, we don't get any money
for
that. It's just a great community to be a part of.
Dude,
everybody's so nice.
It is the only thing I check on the internet. Like some people go to Reddit, some people go to like HuffPost or whatever. I go straight to the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Because it's just all love and positivity and people helping each other.
It's awesome.
And sharing goals and advice.
It's so great.
I'm addicted to that group.
So yeah. This is going to come out on Monday, September 17th. I'm just in town for the next couple weeks. I'll be at Bar Lubitsch on Friday night if you live in LA, and I'll be down at the Rec Room in Huntington Beach on Saturday the 22nd.
Awesome.
At Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, Kelsey Cook on Twitter, kelseycook.com. Yeah.
Boom. And she won't be checking her socials, so you won't get a response.
Oh my God.
She will not. So this comes out, you said the 17th?
Yes.
Okay, cool. On the 21st, I'm going to be at the University of Arkansas as of today. That was just, and then I'm back in LA over the weekend. I'm at the Comedy Cellar in Las Vegas, the 26th through the 30th. I am headlining Levity Live in Oxnard, California, October 4th through 7th. And yeah, that's a few weeks in advance. Let's go to ttomcomedy.com for tour dates. At Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter. Beautiful. T-Tom Comedy on Instagram.
This is coming out sometime in September.
September 17th.
So hopefully Dicks by Delaney is up and running. DicksByDelaney.com. I'm so excited. Check it out. It's my dream job.
Yeah. Yeah, so support that. Support the Patreon. So make excited. This all we have to do.
Yeah,
seriously. Kelsey and I are sick of planes. Delaney's sick of anything that isn't drawn dicks. I think she's earned that.
Yes, help us.
She's our life coach, and we need her at our disposal.
Yes, exactly.
Oh man, we love you guys.
We
so
love
much.
You so much.
This podcast has just changed my life.
It's the best.
Too. Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye. Or sooner if you're on the Patreon.
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Why won't